Wade, good to go?
Okay.
Okay. All right, folks, thank you for coming today. Good morning. My name is Pat Ward. I'm the administrative law judge pursuant to temporary appointment designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings at the request of the Public Service Commission to serve as a substantive hearing officer for this hearing. This is a hearing on the application of Hess North Dakota Export Logistics regarding ETP pipeline project for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit and waiver of procedures to authorize construction for a 1.1 mile 12-inch diameter crude oil pipeline in Williams County, known as the ETP Pipeline Project. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission case number PU-16-189. The record will show it is a little past 11 a.m., July 26, 2016, at Nesset Consulting Services in Tioga, North Dakota, the time, date, and place set by the notice of filing and notice of hearing issued by the Public Service Commission on June 8th. On May 6, 2016, Hess filed its application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit and for a waiver of procedures and time schedules for the pipeline. The application and request are set forth in the notice of filing and notice of hearing, and the proposed location is shown by the map, which is part of the notice. The notice of filing and notice of hearing for this hearing specified the following issues to be considered and determined upon this hearing. The issues to be considered on the application for waiver of procedures and time schedules are: one, are the proposed facilities of such length, design, location, or purpose that they will produce minimal adverse effects and that adherence to applicable procedures and time schedules may be waived? Two, is it appropriate for the commission to waive any procedures and time schedules as requested in the application? The issues with regard to the certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit itself are: one, will the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Two, are the proposed facilities compatible with environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And three, will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? Mr. Mann, would you please state your appearance for the record and anyone at council table with you?
Wade Mann with Crowley Fleck, PLLP, appearing on behalf of Hess North Dakota Export Logistics, LLC. And with me at council table is Lacey Carver, in-house counsel with Hess.
C-A-R-V-E-R.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Hsu?
John Hsu, on behalf of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, and along with me today is Julie Prescott, she's the utility analyst. And at this time, Your Honor, I'd just like to request that she be able to ask questions as well.
Okay, that'll be allowed. Is there anyone present today, and I'll ask this on the record, other than witnesses for Hess or the commission, who will or may testify or comment concerning this matter? If there's anyone out there that thinks they want to testify, just raise your hand. Okay, not seeing any, I'm going to skip over this part of my initial remarks, but I'll come back to it again and give you another opportunity. Council, any exhibits to pre-mark or move?
Yes, Your Honor, I have five exhibits that I've pre-marked. Exhibit one will be the application. Exhibit two is an executed copy of the certification relating to order provisions and tree and shrub mitigation. Exhibit 3 is an emergency response plan. Exhibit 4 is agency correspondence from North Dakota Game and Fish. And Exhibit 5 is agency correspondence from the North Dakota Department of Health. I discussed prior to the hearing with Attorney Hsu whether he would be agreeable to stipulate to admission of these five exhibits up front. He indicated that he was agreeable, if it is okay with Your Honor.
Okay. Any objection, Mr. Hsu?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, exhibits 1 through 5 will be received. Any opening remarks for the record?
I don't have any opening remarks, Your Honor. I do have two witnesses that I intend to call for today's hearing. Murray Jackson will be the company witness appearing on behalf of Hess, and Bill McCarthy with E3 will offer testimony on environmental and cultural resource issues.
Can you spell Murray for the record?
Yes, M-U-R-R-A-Y.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Hsu, any opening remarks before we begin?
No, Your Honor, I waive the opening.
Okay, you can call your first witness.
Okay, first witness is Murray Jackson.
Mr. Jackson, welcome.
Your Honor.
I have to swear you in.
Yes, sir.
But before I do that, I need to advise you of the penalty for perjury in North Dakota. Perjury is a false statement which, at the time it is made, the witness knows not to be true or believes to be not true. The penalty for perjury in North Dakota is up to 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine, or in some cases, both may be imposed. Having been advised of the penalty for perjury, please raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Mann.
Murray, can you go ahead and state your name and give us your business address?
Yes, sir. My name is Murray Jackson. My business address is McKinney Street, Houston, Texas.
And by whom are you employed?
I'm employed by Hess Corporation.
Okay. And what is your position with Hess?
My position is project manager over infrastructure, handling pipelines and compressor facilities.
Okay. And could you briefly describe your education and experience?
Yes, sir. I have a law degree from the University of Aberdeen and a postgraduate diploma in engineering from the Robert Gordon's University in Aberdeen.
And something tells me it's the Aberdeen in Scotland and not the one in South Dakota.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, sir.
Murray, could you give us a brief description of the proposed project?
Yes, sir. This project we're proposing is the ETP Crude Oil Interconnect Pipeline Project. It interconnects from the existing Hess-Ramberg truck facility, approximately 1.2 miles south of Tioga here, to the new Energy Transfer Partners facility, which is about 1.2 miles northeast of the existing Ramberg truck facility. It's a 12-inch pipeline, single oil pipeline that we're installing.
Okay. And could you explain the need and the purpose for this project?
Yes, sir. The need of this project is to provide a further avenue for oil export from North Dakota as an alternative to trucking and also rail.
Okay. And could you describe the facilities that the pipeline is connecting?
Yes, so it's connecting the Ramberg truck facility from the Hess side of things, which is a storage facility we currently have at Ramberg. That facility has storage tanks and also truck offloading bays. So it will go from the Ramberg truck facility through the proposed pipeline to a receipt point at the ETP facility, which will be a pig receiver where we'll have a tie-in point there.
Okay. And is the Ramberg truck facility, is that a Hess facility?
Yes, sir. That's okay. A Hess-owned facility. Okay.
Could you briefly describe the infrastructure for this project?
Yes, sir. So as previously stated, the initial pipeline is installing 1.2 miles of 12-inch pipeline, API 5L X52 grade. It also includes some brownfield modifications that will take place at the Ramberg truck facility. We will install a pig launcher and receiver as part of this project. In addition, we will be laying fiber optic cable for communication purposes, and also for the leak detection system. Cathodic protection as part of the integrity program will be installed, and associated electrical and instrumentation control systems.
Okay. What's the status of right-of-way for this project?
So the right-of-way for this project is all secured. We have three landowners on this project, and we've secured right-of-way with all of them and an agreed route with all of them.
Okay. And could you describe the process that you used for coming up with the route?
Yes, absolutely, sir. So the route, the process we go through on the route is we do an initial desktop engineering study. We involve the landowners from a consultation point of view. We also look at it from a constructability side of things. And then lastly, but most importantly, we rely upon the environmental survey that was conducted by E3 in finalizing the route and minimizing any environmental impacts that the project may have.
What's the estimated cost of the project?
The estimated cost of this project is about $4.6 million U.S. dollars.
Okay. And do you have an anticipated start date for construction?
Yes, sir. Anticipated start date, subject obviously to PSC approval, would be the end of August. Completion date, roughly around about the end of October.
Okay. And will Hess utilize the one-call system during construction?
Yes, sir, we will. The one-call system and the Hess ground disturbance policy will be utilized on this project.
Okay. And could you briefly describe the construction practices and how surface impacts will be minimized?
Yes, so we will follow a conventional pipeline sequence on this project. And, you know, one of the main parts that is the topsoil and the subsoil handling. We will be separating both topsoil and subsoil on this project into separate piles to keep them separate for reinstatement. We will also do, obviously, pipe stringing, welding, excavation, lowering in and backfill thereafter in line with any stipulations that we have. Another point is on this project, we're 100 foot temporary right away and 50 foot permanent, again, to minimize impacts. We're also having four bores on this project, including one under the existing wetland that has been recognized by E3, again, as a mitigation on environmental impacts.
Okay. And will the pipeline be constructed in compliance with applicable safety laws and standards?
Yes, it will be, sir. We will follow during construction all applicable safety laws and standards, including OSHA regulations, the desktop audit that we perform HESS-wise on all construction companies that work on our projects. We use pre-qualified contractors as well. We also conduct frequent drug and alcohol tests on all members of the construction squad as far as the construction goes. On the pipeline integrity side for safety, as previously mentioned, we will be installing cathodic protection on this project. The pipe is coated with FBE coating as well. And we will be conducting 100% X-ray on all welds on this project.
Okay. Will HESS have any type of inspection, surveillance, or maintenance of the pipeline?
In operation or during, well, on both sides, during construction we'll have third-party inspectors out there that are employed to ensure that the construction, along with our own project management team, they're employed to ensure that the construction is completed in line with applicable code standards and stipulations. And then from an operations point of view, the surveillance will be conducted in accordance with the appropriate PHMSA regulations, 49 CFR 195.
Okay. Does HESS have an emergency response plan in place for the project?
Yes, sir, we do. This project will fall under the statewide HESS emergency response plan, which I believe you're submitting as an exhibit.
That has been submitted as Exhibit 3, correct?
Yes, sir.
So, and will HESS personnel responsible for the pipeline be trained in emergency responses?
So the HESS do have personnel that obviously are trained in both the HESS emergency response plan and pipeline leaks and spills in general. Those personnel are available in both south and north of the river. And, you know, in the unlikely event that an incident happens, they will be mobilized accordingly in line with the ERP.
And has HESS received zoning approval from Williams County for this project?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And has HESS submitted a certification relating to order provisions for this project?
Yes, sir.
And I believe that's executed by Mr. John Gatling, Vice President for HESS North Dakota Export Logistics.
Yes, sir.
And that has been filed with the Public Service Commission, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that's exhibit number 2. Is Mr. Gatling, does he have the authority to bind HESS North Dakota Export Logistics?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I have no further questions for Mr. Jackson at this time.
Mr. Hsu, questions for Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. So there was a one-mile study area that was conducted for this transmission line,
yes,
right?
Sir. Yes,
and,
sir.
But the corridor with you were requesting, is that 250 foot wide?
100 foot wide, sir.
100 feet wide?
Yeah, that's the temporary corridor is 100 feet wide.
Mr. Hsu, the 250 feet is what was surveyed, and I think we would ask for that as the route. Request that to be the route, the 250-foot survey area.
And you request the 250-foot to be the corridor that the route will be within?
Correct.
Okay. During construction, how will HESS monitor community concerns so they're able to address them?
So Hess has a hotline. So there's a number of ways, actually, sir. We have a land department that assign a landman to each pipeline project, and they basically handle the landowner's concerns and any associated concerns while construction is happening in real time. And then the second way is that we actually have a grievances hotline that people are encouraged to use for any formal grievances that they have during any activity that we have in the state, specifically during construction.
Okay. I see that you're co-locating with a number of facilities for about 0.66 miles, correct?
Yes, sir.
Are you aware of what facilities are also located within there?
Yeah, we monitor and work with the other stakeholders within that area. As you know, Ramberg is a pretty congested area, yes. So we rely heavily upon GIS, stakeholder engagement, and the one-call process to make sure that we minimize any interference and disruption to other facilities, and there's no conflict where possible.
All right, so you've had contact with these, any other utilities probably that have located
that?
Yeah,
so that is part of the one-call process and the engagement, the pre-construction planning process. So we highlight that during the planning stage to get the route, and then thereafter we continue our monitoring and engagement with the stakeholders as we go forward with the project.
Okay. Within your emergency response plan, is there also a spill response plan as well? Is that included within it?
I believe so, sir. I'm not an expert on the emergency response plan, though.
Would that be better for the environmental expert?
It would be, or another witness, yes, sir.
Okay. How about precautions to prevent oil and grease to prevent them from reaching waterways during construction? Would you be able to answer that question, or would that be better suited?
No, I mean, from the construction side, yeah, I would be able to answer that question. So we maintain a strict maintenance program with all of our contractors to avoid any spills of oil, grease, any other materials that may come from construction equipment or construction activities. As I said, on the specific one water wetland that we're crossing, we've taken the measure of boring under that. I mean, obviously, we have to minimal bore on the high water mark, and then we set back about 50 feet from there to begin any of those activities. So that gives us an additional sort of prevention measure there on the one identified wetland. But in general, we have a heavy focus, sir, on spills on the right of way and ensuring that they do not happen.
You stated that you're planning on boring four areas along this, and one on the I'm assuming it's the crossing at the 1 mile mark around that area.
Yeah, the wetland. Yes, sir.
What are the other three?
The other three generally are to do with pipeline crossings, sir.
Okay.
Or topo that's slightly challenging, but again that's a safety measure again, and working with our stakeholders when constructing a pipeline.
That's all the questions I have, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Ms. Prescott, any questions?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey.
I'm sorry, I missed your description of the ETP facility. What's on that end?
So from our side on that end, it's a receipt facility, ma'am. Okay. From our side, we have a pig receiver. We'll have flow meters, pressure transmitters, and we'll also have an interconnect to connect into whatever their final tie-in point will be on that side.
I noticed in the application it talked about a normal operating pressure of 100 PSI. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Seems a little low.
It is, yes. And that's governed, you know, really by the receipt requirements as well. So it is a low pressure line, in all honesty. Yes.
I just wanted to be sure that was.
But we are approaching it as a high pressure line as far as the PHMSA regulations go.
Okay. It's just going to be one directional flow. It's not going to be developed for both. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Where's your control center?
It'll be at the Tioga Gas Plant.
Okay. A number of the agencies that responded offered recommendations, like Game and Fish, Parks and Rec, the Water Commission, Health Department, so forth, you know, dust control,
yes,
these
ma'am.
Types of things. Is it the intent of the company to follow those recommendations?
Yes, it is, ma'am.
Okay. make sure I've got everything I need here. So you talked about the agency guidelines in which under the project will be constructed. So the project, will it be constructed under DOT guidelines for the transportation of hazardous liquids,
yes,
the PHMSA guidelines?
Under PHMSA, yes, it
195?
Yep. Yes, it will, ma'am.
Operation.
49 CFR 195, yep.
The parts concerning the operation, construction, operation, and maintenance?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And that is all I have, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Mann, any follow-up?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Jackson. You can step down.
Thank you very much.
Bill McCarthy will be my next witness.
Okay. Mr. McCarthy, welcome back. You're wearing out the road between here and St. Paul.
Yes, sir.
You know the drill, so I ask you to raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Mann.
Bill, can you state your name and give us your business address?
William McCarthy, E3 Environmental, 871 Jefferson Avenue, St. Paul, Minnesota.
And can you state by whom you're employed and in what capacity?
Yes, sir. I'm employed by E3 Environmental. I'm an environmental project manager and with compliance support to clients.
Okay. And could you describe your qualifications with respect to environmental projects and permitting?
Yes, sir. I have undergraduate with Michigan State University with focus on wildlife biology. I continued on to University of Minnesota for a master's in wildlife biology and a minor in environmental toxicology. Following my educational career, I've spent about a little over 20 years as an environmental consultant working in the energy industry with compliance support to various projects. Most recently, in the last 6 or so years, with a heavy focus with siting and routing of gathering lines and transmission lines here in North Dakota.
And have you previously provided testimony before the North Dakota Public Service Commission?
Yes, sir, I have.
Okay. And were you the person primarily responsible for conducting the environmental review on this project and for preparation of the application?
Yes, sir.
And were you responsible for preparation of the natural resource and cultural resources reports?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is the purpose of your testimony today to address the environmental and cultural resource matters pertaining to this pipeline project?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What was the study area for the project?
We were provided an alignment by the client, Hess, in which we then bounded it by a 1 mile study area. From that, then we did our desktop analysis, engaged various agencies with interest in those types of resources, and refined the project down to a survey corridor.
And what's the survey corridor?
The survey corridor is 250 feet wide, centered upon the alignment.
Okay. Has a cultural resource investigation been completed for the project?
Yes, sir. It was comprised of two phases. One is a Class 1 inventory. A Class 1 inventory is a study of the records held by the State Historic Preservation Office of previous studies conducted in the area, as well as any resources identified by those studies. That was completed in advance of our Class 3 inventory. The Class 3 inventory is a pedestrian survey of the proposed alignment.
And what were the results of the cultural resource investigation?
We found that the area has been previously well studied. About 20 previous cultural studies have been conducted in the area, which is an unusually large number of them. And in those studies, they identified one previous resource. In all those studies, it was determined to be not eligible. It is not located within our Class 3 inventory, so it's not crossed by the route.
And did you submit your findings to the North Dakota SHPO?
Yes, sir. A report was prepared that summarized our findings, offered a recommendation that there would be no historic resources impacted by the project. We offered that to the State Historic Preservation Office. They responded in kind with a letter concurring with our recommendation of no effect.
And you placed that letter in the application, correct, in Appendix C?
That is correct. It was included with the application.
Okay. Has a wetland assessment been completed for the project?
Yes, sir. Our natural resource studies were conducted. Again, kind of a similar process. We did a desktop analysis of the 1 mile study area using published information. That prepared us for the pedestrian survey of the proposed route.
What were the results of the assessment?
Our desktop studies found that there were numerous indicators of wetlands, approximately 40, and two water bodies and two waterways. Our within that study area, our surveyed results found one water body crossing and no other resources.
And is that the crossing that Mr. Jackson indicated that Hess was going to bore underneath?
That is correct.
Okay. What studies were completed with respect to biological resources?
Yes, sir. As part of our normal process, we have qualified individuals out in our natural resource studies, and they assess the right-of-way for noxious weeds, habitats, and occurrences of threatened and endangered species. They do a line-of-sight survey for raptors, which allows them to extend their actual survey beyond the limits of the surveyed corridor up to about approximately half a mile. And I believe that pretty well encompasses it.
Okay. Are there any exclusion areas as identified in PSC rules within the pipeline project?
No, sir.
How about avoidance areas?
None within the route. The corridor did identify two potential. One was with respect to potential occupied dwellings, but none of those occur within 500 feet of the proposed alignment. Water resources were identified, again, within the study area, the one-mile study area. There were some water wells, et cetera, but nothing that's crossed by the route.
Okay. And you're familiar with the Public Service Commission's selection criteria, correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are there any impacts with respect to the selection criteria?
No, sir.
How about with respect to the commission's policy criteria?
No, sir.
Okay. Are there any other permits or authorizations that are still necessary for the project? And if so, what is the status of those?
It's my understanding that three potential permits could apply. One would be for the water body crossing. However, if Hess progresses with a bore of that feature, their crossing of that in a bore technique would be done in a manner that's not regulated because there'd be no impacts to the bed and banks. If they chose to cross it in a more conventional way, they certainly have everything in place in order to do so under a nationwide 12. Hydrostatic testing is also a common practice of pipelines once they're constructed. That is a regulated activity if that test water is discharged to the environment. If they chose to discharge it to the environment, they could certainly procure a permit from the Department of Health. It's a simple application process, 30-day turnaround, and there would be plenty of time between the start of construction and the time of discharge, and they would certainly have that in hand. Alternatively, that water could be managed in a way that is contained, collected, and discharged at a licensed receipt facility, and management of that water in that manner would not be regulated. Construction stormwater is also a potential permit that would apply. In the state of North Dakota, the Department of Health recognizes the exclusions offered to the oil and gas industry, as long as certain protective measures, very common practice, erosion control devices, best management practices, to avoid discharges to waters of the state. And that permit could be applied for a general permit within 7 days of initiation of construction.
Okay. And Bill, apart from what you've already discussed, are you aware of any other mitigation measures to be undertaken?
Just to be aware that if we are successful with our proposed schedule, construction could be occurring in the fall migration period. This is an area in which the whooping crane has the potential to occur, and we would recommend that construction personnel are trained to observe and correctly identify a whooping crane. And if one is, in fact, observed within 1/2 mile of the construction, we recommend that heavy equipment operations are suspended until the birds leave the area, and that internally those observations are recorded and reported accordingly to the agency.
And to your knowledge, have any state or federal agencies objected to this project?
To my knowledge, no objections have been received.
Yeah. And Bill, then, in your opinion, is the pipeline of such length, design, location, or purpose that it will produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and welfare of the citizens of the state?
Yes, sir, I agree.
And is the pipeline compatible with the environmental preservation and efficient use of resources?
Yes, sir.
Will its operation minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity?
Yes, sir.
And will its operation ensure that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I have no more further questions for Mr. McCarthy.
Mr. Hsu.
Mr. McCarthy, can I turn your attention to the natural resource or the topo map in Appendix B?
Yes, sir.
You say there were two wetlands in the area. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Were those your studies showed were in there until you affirmed them, confirmed that they were not there, correct?
So desktop studies suggested that there were 40 wetlands signatures, NWI type signatures, National Wetlands Inventory, two water bodies and two waterways. That's just digital type data and analysis. Our studies confirm the presence of one water body.
On the map here, are those the two water bodies that you were speaking of?
This map, the topo base, would depict our desktop analysis.
Okay.
The aerial base would show our actual survey confirmation. And the water body that was identified by field survey is right at about milepost marker one.
Let's see. In the application, it states that there are 27 acres that are expected of agricultural land to be affected during construction. Do you know how many acres of agricultural land are expected to be permanently affected by this project?
Right. Pipeline construction typically does not result in permanent impacts. The practice of topsoil segregation really minimizes those longer-term impacts. And further, it's a buried utility, and typically the excavations, once restored and return the original contours, return the land back to their previous use.
You spoke a little bit about the whooping crane. There are a number of recommendations that E3 made regarding breeding birds and raptors. And do you know if the company will be implementing the E3's recommendations?
Yes, the combination of the proposed timing of the project, unless there's a significant delay, but also the commitment has to be in compliance, so they would observe those recommendations.
You said that there are four wells within the requested corridor. Just give us a brief description of those four wells within the corridor area.
Yes, sir. If you turn to the aerial sure. map in Appendix B, you'll see the 1 mile study area is delineated by the red boundary. And if we start up in the northwest corner, there is a well symbol up in the northwest corner. If we come down to the development, Ramberg truck facility, there's a well symbol. There you go, you're on the right map now. There's a well symbol in that developed area. There's actually two at that location, a symbol kind of overlaps. Then the final one is down almost directly south of the Ramberg facility, right near the limits of our 1 mile boundary on our study area.
Are there any county roads or any roadways within 75 feet of the transmission line?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. No other questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
Ms. Prescott.
have any questions for you, Bill. I can't believe it.
Mr. Mann, anything further for Mr. McCarthy?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. McCarthy, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else today, Mr. Mann?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Hsu?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Ms. Prescott?
I just wanted to ask if there about valve locations.
Oh, okay.
That would be okay.
Which person did you want to ask?
Mr.
If we could recall Murray Jackson, okay. He should be able to address that.
Mr. Jackson, come on back. Just a reminder, you're still under oath.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I just wanted to be clear about the above-ground facilities. The pig launcher on the south side, that's going to be within the existing footprint of the truck facility?
Yes, ma'am.
Right? And that was on the south side. And then you don't have any, there'll be additional valves installed at that facility?
Yes, there will be. It's a pig launcher skid, actually, ma'am, that will host both the pig launcher plus the associated shutdown valves, et cetera.
And those will all be within the footprint of the existing facility?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That's all I had.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mann, anything else?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Thanks again. I don't have any questions, but I do have to ask one more time whether there's anyone who wishes to address the commission concerning this matter today. I don't see any hands going up. Oh, there's someone back there. Sir, come on forward. Were you in the room when I gave the perjury admonition, sir?
No, I was not, but I'm pretty familiar with it.
Oh, okay. Well, very simply, what it is in North Dakota, if a statement you make is not true or you believe to be not true at the time it's made, that can be considered perjury, in which case there's a possible penalty of up to 5 years in prison or a $10,000 fine, or both can be imposed. Having been advised of that penalty, I'll ask you to raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And before we get into any of the specifics, let me just get some identifying information from you. Did you sign the sign-in sheet?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, let's get that up here right away and have you sign that. Does anybody know where the sign-in sheet is? All right, yeah. Just take a second to do that. Okay, I'll have you. I can't remember if I swore him in. Did I swear him in? I'll have you raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, I do.
Okay. State your name, please, for the record.
My name's Evan Whiteford.
Evan Whiteford. And have you testified before the commission before?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Mr. Whiteford, where do you live?
I live in Ray, North Dakota.
And what do you do there?
Actually, I'm a representative for Laborers International Unions of North America.
So are you here today representing the union or yourself?
I'm representing the union.
Okay. Okay, what is it would you like to tell the commission, sir?
Basically, what I want to tell the commission is, I've been a pipeliner for 9 years. I've worked all over the country. And when it comes down to a company like Hess, they spare no expense on the safety. I mean, their safety is top-notch. It's bar none. I come to give my highest regards to Hess. The projects I've worked on have been along the best. And I'm basically on behalf of the Laborers Union. I just wanted to speak out and put my words out there that we are in full 100% support of this project. We would like to see it go. With the recent downfall with the oil prices and the lack of work that's going on, this is going to produce some jobs in the area, not a whole lot, but it is going to produce some work on the ground. It's not a very big project, but for the people who live and work in this area, we need to see them moving forward.
Okay. Anything else? Or is
nope.
It?
That's all I have to say.
Okay, let me see if there's any questions for you. Mr. Mann, any questions for Mr. Whiteford?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Shue?
No questions, Your Honor.
Ms. Prescott?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Whiteford.
Thank you much.
Okay. Anybody else? That wasn't so painful, was it? I guess it was. Okay. All right. Mr. Mann, anything before we close the record today?
I have nothing further, Your Honor.
Mr. Shue?
Your Honor, I have no closing.
No closing. Okay, Ms. Prescott?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Okay. Will Counsel Hess agree to prepare proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order?
I will, Your Honor.
All right. And when do you think you can get that done by?
If I could have a week from Friday should be plenty of time. I'm going to be gone the rest of this week, but the following week I should be able to get something put together by the end of the week at the latest.
So we're looking around August 3rd or something like that? Sorry. August 5th?
Yeah, and preferably sooner, but if I could have until the 5th.
Okay. Well, I'll give you the fifth at the outside, and obviously if you want to get it done sooner than that. And that would work good for me, too, because I'll be out the week after that. So if you could get it to me so I could look at it
Certainly. On
the morning of the 5th, it would be even better because I can hopefully turn it around right away.
Okay.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order?
Nothing further.
Okay. Then I'm going to close the hearing on the application of Hess for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit and waiver procedures. The hearing is closed at 11:45. Case number PU-16-189 is adjourned. And thank you all very much.
Thank you.